So 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, we started a series on God's testing. We asked the question, does God test His children? The answer, of course, is yes. And we've been looking at the various types of tests that God allows in our lives as they've occurred in the Bible chronologically. We started with the obedience test, the Garden of Eden, the first test for man, which he failed. Then we looked in the book of Job at the suffering test. Does God allow suffering in our lives? Absolutely. Then we looked in the third week at the patience test in the life of Abraham and Sarah, waiting for the promised son, and also in the book of Luke, how God told us to keep praying and that sometimes He will bear long with us. And then last week we looked at the sacrifice test. Sometimes God asks us to make a sacrifice on His behalf, to give more for Him. And that was, of course, from the story of Abraham and being told to sacrifice his son Isaac. Today, we go to Exodus 14, where we look at the first test of the nation of Israel after their deliverance from Egypt. And I'm going to refer to this as a protection test or a protection faith test, whatever you want to call it. But will God protect us when we're faced with situations where that are out of our control, where we might feel in danger or afraid? Will God protect us? And God brought Israel into this situation and then showed Himself powerful. So here in chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord cried unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." So I'm going to stop there. We've titled the message, "Stand Still and See the Salvation of the Lord." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we go to your word. We are so thankful for this opportunity. And Lord, we just want to hear from you today. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would take the word and apply it to our hearts, Lord, and that we would grow and learn. And Lord, whatever the need might be, a conviction, encouragement, but we pray that the Holy Spirit would do those amazing things in our hearts through this powerful book. And so, Lord, we ask that our Savior Jesus would be lifted up, you would meet with us now, and bless every aspect of our service. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The protection test. Was it God's will for them to be trapped at the Red Sea? Absolutely. God gave them some very specific instructions about where they were to encamp. You saw that between these places with really hard names to pronounce. He said, "I want you to encamp right there at that spot." Now, God knows everything. God could have chosen a spot that wasn't a place where they would be trapped, but he chose a spot where they were right up against the sea, and then the army came, and they were literally trapped by the sea on one side and the army on the other. You say, well, why? Why would God allow such a thing? Because God's about to teach them something. That's why. He brought them to that place on purpose, so he could show them that he's on their side, that he's going to fight their battles for them. As he said there in verse 14, he said, the Lord will fight for you. But Israel had a lot to learn. And as you can see, their response wasn't what it should have been. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But God is our God if we're his children, if we're saved. And God has promised to watch over us and protect us. But God's going to bring us often into situations where he's going to prove this to be true in our lives. And it's a test to see how we're going to respond. Are we going to trust God? Are we going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Or are we going to moan and complain and cry out like the Israelites did? That God's already promised to take care of us and watch out for us. But when those times come, when we're literally up against the Red Sea and we got the army on one side and the sea on the other, what then? What's our response going to be? And that's why it's a test. And it was their first one. And they failed miserably. And you know what? The last test that Israel faced before they had to go and wander for 40 years and all die, everybody 20 years old and upward, was the same type of test. And they failed that one too. And that was when they sent the spies in. Let's just quickly look at a couple verses in Numbers 13. So here's their first test, the protection test. Will God protect us? Well, of course, they cried out and said, woe is us. God blessed them. They walked through the Red Sea. They spent all this time being blessed in the desert. They finally get to the promised land. They send in the spies. The spies come back here in Numbers 13. Notice verse 31. Here was the basic report of the spies in Numbers 13, 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That was their answer. Now, of course, Caleb and Joshua said, that doesn't matter. God already told us he'd give us the land. We should go fight anyway. Verse 33, it says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So there's the problem. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. When we compared ourselves to the giants, we were just tiny little grasshoppers. Wait a minute. God's on their side. But they didn't get it. So notice chapter 14. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Sound familiar? Same response with the first test. Here's their final test before being sent off into the desert to wander for 40 years, and it's the same thing. Will God protect us? Will God help us fight these battles? And their response was, we don't believe he can. And we know the story. God sent them into the desert for 40 years. And so back to our passage here in Exodus chapter 14. God put them in this specific spot for this specific lesson, this specific test. He warned Moses in advance, this is what's going to happen. Pharaoh is going to pursue after you. I'm going to harden his heart. But he kept saying, fear not. Be not afraid. And God is going to show that he keeps his promises and that he's powerful and that he fights our battles. But the only way we can learn those things to be true and to have our faith built is to be put into the situations where we trust God and he shows them to be true. Hence, a test. And Israel failed. So notice verse 9, the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the sea. And I won't try to read those two names again. So again, not only did God put them in that specific spot for a reason, but he could have parted the sea as soon as they got there. Right? I mean, he brought them to that spot. Why not just part the sea and just keep walking? Why wait to part the sea until the army gets there? It's obvious. Because God's going to teach them that he is God and he's on their side and he's powerful. He could have parted it long before the army got there and it wouldn't have been a problem. The army would have still come through and they would have drowned and everything would have been fine. But instead, he waited and waited, and they had to wait and watch the army come so that they could trust God. But they didn't trust God, as we saw. The Bible says in Psalm 66:10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried." God is going to test us, sometimes with this sort of a test, a protection test. By the way, did you know that Jesus put his disciples through a similar test? Look over in Mark chapter 6. I'll just look at it briefly. Just wanted you to see that it's not just an Old Testament thing, but God still today will test us to see if we're going to trust him when we find ourselves in situations where we feel like we just can't get out of them. And sometimes we can't without supernatural help. That's where God shines through, because God is supernatural. But notice here in Mark chapter 6, over in verse 45, the Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go unto the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land." Look at verse 48. "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch." You mean he waited? Yep. "About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now Jesus is God. When Jesus told them to get into that ship and go to the other side without him, did he know that there was going to come up a storm? A big storm? Yes, he sure did. He's in control of the weather too. So he actually, if you want to get real about it, created the storm. Because he's God. So he said, "I want you guys to row to the other side." That's their only instructions. He didn't say there's going to be a storm and just keep rowing, keep rowing, keep rowing. No, just go. And a big storm came up and he's up on the mountain praying, but he's watching them for hours, fighting this storm and not getting anywhere. Why? Why would Jesus put them through something like that? Well, eventually he comes walking on the sea and calms the storm, and we know the story. It was all a lesson to teach them. Jesus is control of everything. God can control anything. He's on our side. We don't need to be afraid. But God's going to bring us through the same thing. So let's go back to verse 10 of Exodus 14. The Bible says, "When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid." Now, God had already told Moses, "Fear not." You know that phrase, "fear not" or "be not afraid," is over 100 times in the Bible. That's a lot. Because God doesn't want us to be afraid. Go to Isaiah 41:10, if you would. Keep your place here in Exodus 14. Look at Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. And I could turn to a whole long list of verses for this, but I'll just give you one in the old and one in the new. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In the New Testament, 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God tells us all through the Scriptures, don't be afraid. He told the Israelites, don't be afraid. He told Moses, don't be afraid. He told Joshua, don't be afraid. He tells man all through the Old Testament, fear not. What's their response? They were sore afraid. Verse 11 of Exodus 14, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? I mean, could there be a more silly statement? Think about what they're saying. That the all-powerful God who just executed these 10 plagues and rescued us from Egypt, by the way, we asked God to for 400 years, and He finally sent Moses and He's rescued us from Egypt. He's so powerful that He brought us into the desert because there wasn't enough room for us to be buried in Egypt. This is how people act when they aren't trusting God. And this is not acceptable with God, by the way. Now, He was patient with them because things are just getting started. And in these first initial tests, He was patient. Now, later on, He wasn't so patient. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. God hates it when we complain, when we moan, as opposed to just trust Him. They say here in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. By the way, that's a prophetic statement. They just don't realize it. They're going to die in the wilderness, all those 20 and above, because they're going to refuse to go into the promised land. How sad is that? Of course, Egypt pictures the world. This pictures Christians beginning to be tricked by the devil into thinking, you know, I'd be better off going back to my old ways. Because this Christian life is hard work. It's a constant battle with the flesh and with the devil and with the world. I'd rather just go back to the way it used to be. Well, by the way, you can't if you're a Christian. You can try to go back to the way it used to be. All it's going to bring is misery, because now God's your Father, and if you try to go back into the world, He's going to have to chastise you. So much better be like Paul and say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. But not Israel. We would have been better off just to stay slaves. That's what they're saying. Look at Psalm 106, verse 7, if you would. I want to show you where one of the psalmists is reflecting upon this event. And I want you to see the word that God uses to describe what Israel did. Psalm 106, verse 7. The Bible says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. Psalm 106, verse 7. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. So notice, they understood not his wonders, and they remembered not his mercies. Instead, it says they provoked him. They provoked him by what? By throwing up their hands and saying, woe is us. God brought us out here to kill us. We would have been better off in Egypt. And back in our passage, the title of the message this morning is a beautiful statement from Moses. Exodus 14:13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. God is going to deliver you. Even if you are a bunch of rebels, He's still going to deliver you. He's going to do it in a miraculous way that He not only rescues you from their army, but He's going to kill the army as well, which He did. We all know the story. And God says the same to us. Now, as Christians, we're told to walk in the Spirit. We're told that we're running a race. But when it comes to times when we are trapped, when it seems like there's just no way out, when it seems like there's no safety, that's when we stop and we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. and watch God, as he says, fight for us. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble in Psalm 46:1. He's the one that will protect us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our salvation. He will fight for us. Go, if you would, to Isaiah 54, verse 17. One of my favorite verses, because it just talks about how God watches out for his children in the most amazing ways. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Notice the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon, no tongue. If God's on your side, he's in control, is what he's saying. And by the way, he says that in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's true. You say, well, these are just a couple of isolated incidents. But really, when you start thinking about it, what about Daniel? Was he put into situations where it was beyond his control? Absolutely. What about his three friends with the fiery furnace? What about David with Goliath? We could go on and on. What about the Apostle Paul? All the times he was threatened and entire towns wanted to kill him. One time God even allowed him to be stoned. The Lord shall fight for you. That's his promise. He's on our side. Not because we're better than anyone else, but because we're his children. Amen? If you're born again this morning, you're a child of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and he is on your side. And look what God finishes here. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 15, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking of the children of Israel, that they go forward? So stand still and see the salvation. Now, I want you to go forward. I want you to step out by faith. I want you to walk through the middle of a sea. Think about what he's saying there. Don't look back. Don't give up. Don't go around the obstacle. Go through it. And he says the same thing to us. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work. Watch God fight for you. Watch God protect you. And go forward. And of course, we know the story. That's what they did. God parted the sea. They walked through the sea. The army tried to follow them, and God killed the army. And they sang a song of victory. And said, praise the Lord for what he's done in our lives. God is so great. God is so powerful. God is so good. Then they turned around and said, oh, there's nothing to drink. God brought us out here to kill us. We'll see that next week. I call that one the provision test. Will God meet our needs? But the question today is, will God protect us? Yes. You might say, well, wait a minute. God might let us die. This is so true. There are people that have died for the cause of Christ. And there may still be people dying for the cause of Christ around the world today. And if Jesus tarries, it may even happen in New Zealand. We don't know. But in the end, what is the reward for a Christian? It's heaven either way. Amen? We're all going to die sometime or be raptured out. And you read in Hebrews 11 about all these great people of faith. I mean, amazing stories. Turn over there. We'll close there in Hebrews 11. Because I want you to see that sometimes God's protection might include God calling you home. Notice Hebrews 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Hebrews 11, 34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And you might want to put a line right there if it's okay with yourself to write in your Bible, because it takes a big turn right there. And others were tortured not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect. Say, well, did God protect them? Of course He did. And God gives the grace when it's time to go. And you can read in Fox's Book of Martyrs about literally thousands and thousands of Christians that died for their faith and died gracefully. Died praising God. How's that possible? Because God was with them. God says, He's with us. God before us, who can be against us? He's on our side. The Lord is on our side. I will not fear what man can do unto me, the Bible says. If that be the case, then what's our response when those times come? Israel taught us how not to respond. Complain, moan, blame God, look back. What should we do instead? Trust God. Trust God. And learn through this, through His Word, and through experience, if you've been saved a while, that God always comes through. Because He's God. And God will be a debtor to no man. If God made a promise, God will keep it. His promise is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.